Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of the people out there in the listening audience across America who are listening to us on the eve of Thanksgiving. This is Open Line Wednesday. So our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 right here in the mid-coast of California. And we're going to start talking. And, of course, you don't have to talk. I know we've already got Charles on the line. Well, you're not going to get a chance to hear what I was going to say because we'll go to Charles. I wonder if that's Charles in Harlem, who's a frequent caller here on Radio Liberty, and we have callers from all across America. And let's go to see what Charles has to say. Hi, Charles. How are you? Charles, are you there? Charles? Well, I don't know what's going on. I'll put Charles back on hold, and maybe he got lost in the shuffle, and maybe he'll have to call back in again. Anyway, we put him on. No, let's see. I think maybe he's calling on. Back again. Hopefully we'll have Charles here. But I think people have to understand that we are in the greatest financial crisis that has existed really in the history of our nation, as far as I know. And if we have doing everything wrong in an effort to take care of that crisis. Now, people a lot smarter than myself, people like Jimmy Rogers, a legendary multi-billionaire expert on commodities, has just said, forget about it, don't do anything, and let the thing collapse. It's going to have to collapse and contract for a year, maybe, and then we'd get over it, and everything would be fine. But if you you do what you're doing and start throwing massive amounts of money at it, you're going to prolong this recession for a decade or maybe two decades. Well, let's see if we got Charles. Charles, are you there? No, I guess we lost Charles again. Let's try this one. Hello, Charles, are you there? Yeah. Anyway, if you're out there in the listening audience, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hello, who do we have?
Charles again?
All right, fine, Charles. Good to have you with us.
Great, great. I think the gremlins don't want us to speak today. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, thank you.
Okay, thank you. One quick question, Dr. Stan. Today we had a little outburst of, it could be fabricated synthetic terror. Over in Mumbai.
Right.
My question to you, if you know anything about it, is, I believe it's synthetic. I don't have any proof, but after reading Joe Skousen's report and seeing how things are aligned, do you think we had something to do with trying to draw the Indians to our side and make the Pakistanis villains in order to set up a coming war? What are your thoughts on that? And I'll take your answer off here. Thank you.
Okay, fine, Charles. Well, bye-bye. The question is, what happened over in India? I really don't know, other than the fact that they did kill eight or nine of the terrorists, and they captured some of the terrorists. But it's too early yet to really tell what's going on. All we can do is sort of analyze what's happened and what things that we know have happened in the past. But we do know that a lot of the so-called terrorist organizations are actually funded either by the United States or by MI6, British Intelligence. And we do know that from the IRA, this vicious group of Irish radicals, you know, who were going over and bombing London. And then it turned out that the number two man in the IRA, the leader of this whole terrorist organization, was a member of MI6, and the chief torturer over there, who actually killed people and executed people who were suspected of being British agents, he was also coming from MI6. And if you look throughout the world, you'll find that there's always a controlled opposition. I have no idea what happened in India. We'll just have to wait and see. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we had Leslie from Silver Beach. The gremlins are at it again, but if Leslie wants to call back in, we'll be glad to talk to him or her. Assume it's her. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. So give us a call if you're out there, and we'd love to talk to you. Well, right now, of course, we want to go ahead and look a little into what has actually happened. Now, everybody was quite upset when Congress authorized $700 billion, and that $700 billion was to be given to Henry Paulson so he could do whatever he wanted to solve the problem. And, of course, Henry Paulson promises he was going to go out and buy up mortgage debt, and that's how they were going to stop this cascading fall in the price of homes, and of course people being foreclosed on. The government would simply buy up the debt, refinance the mortgages, and most people would be able, with a lower payment, perhaps extend it from 30 years to 40 years or more, and then with lower payments they'd be able to stay in their homes, and we'd stop the whole problem. But the problem was that Mr. Paulson no sooner got his hands on the money, then he decided to change course, and he'd promised the American people he was going to bail out Main Street, not Wall Street. This money was not going to go to the people on Wall Street. It wouldn't do any good to send it to the people on Wall Street. He wanted to use the money to help the people, and then you know what happened? Why, he changed his mind. And Henry Paulson, a member of the elite Council on Foreign Relations, Henry Paulson, who attended the last Bilderberger meeting, which is even the more elite people, they're the people who represent the leaders, the financial leaders of the United States and the royalty of the United States and the royalty of Europe and the financial leaders of Europe. And, of course, Henry Paulson was there to the meeting in Virginia this year. Henry Paulson decided he was wrong. He didn't really need to help the common people. What he wanted to do was give as much money as he could to his friends in the banking industry. And after guaranteeing Congress he was taking the money to help the common people, why then he decided to bail out Wall Street, and he called in the 9 major investment banks and gave them a total of about $125 billion. Of course, they're not gifts, they're actually loans. They have to pay a very low amount of money on it, but at least low interest rate. But at least now the banks could begin to refinance themselves. And of course, what Bank of America do with their money? Well, they went over and they bought part of a bank over in China, I think, they got $15 billion, and then they used $7 billion of that to buy up a bank in China. And we'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and this is Open Line. So give us a call here, and we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to know what you wanted to talk about. We had Leslie calling from Aptos, and don't know what happened to Leslie. But anyway, if you have something you'd like to talk about tonight. Charles had called earlier on his cell phone and asked what I thought about the bombing over in India. And I simply said, it's too early yet to tell. All we know is that the people are supposedly terrorists. Now, I suspect that they are maybe Pakistanis, or maybe they are people who were of Pakistani origin or manipulated, because you have to understand that most of the terrorist movements, both in the United States and throughout the world, are made up of Asian provocateurs, and of course most of them, tragically, are created by governments. You've probably heard of the Abu Sayyaf group over in the Philippines, and this is this Muslim terrorist movement group, and of course one of those groups that actually had kidnapped a husband and wife of American missionaries and kept them in the bush with them for, I think, the better part of a year. And then, of course, when government troops were approaching, why, the husband was killed in a hail of bullets. The wife did escape, and she has gone back over there to spread the message of Jesus Christ to the people there. But if you go into the background of Abu Sayyaf and the kidnapping of this American couple, you'll find out that the hijackers, pardon me, the terrorists from Abu Sayyaf were actually chased, and they were in a hotel. And the hotel was supposedly It was a hospital, and it was totally surrounded by government troops, except for the back part of the hospital, which was left open. And, of course, as the government troops were advancing on the hospital, why they escaped out the back. And you wonder how they could be that stupid. I mean, if the government was trying to stop this group of terrorists and had actually had kidnapped a number of people, that they had a number of hostages, and they had them surrounded, why wouldn't they surround the whole of the hospital, not just the front of the hospital? And it sounds really so much like the story of our effort to get Osama bin Laden when he was trapped in the Tora Bora Mountains in Afghanistan, and they wouldn't allow the American troops to go after him. They insisted on letting the Afghans go after him, and a lot of them were loyal to Osama bin Laden, and they just forgot to close the border into Pakistan, and lo and behold, Osama bin Laden and the al-Qaeda leaders, al-Zawahiri and the others, escaped into Pakistan. Well, if you get into the background of Abu Sayyaf in the Philippines, and you look up the name Edward Angeles, of course, was one of the co-founders of Abu Sayyaf, but he was also an agent of the Philippine government. In other words, they were creating a controlled opposition. Not that the average individual who was out there in the bush and a dedicated terrorist, understood what it was all about, but this is what they do. And time and again, why have you seen the same pattern? Here in the United States, we had the Communist Party thoroughly infiltrated by the FBI. There were probably more members of the FBI in the American Communist Party than there were actually foolish communists. And certainly this happened with the militia movement in America. This happened with the Ku Klux Klan in America, which was thoroughly infiltrated by the FBI. And then, of course, this happened as far as Timothy McVeigh was concerned. You do not know, and you've never been allowed to know, that it's covered in a book called OK Bomb, written by Jim Keith, who died under very mysterious circumstances shortly before his publisher died under very mysterious circumstances, shortly before Jim Keith's ex-wife died under mysterious circumstances. But, of course, in the opening pages of the book, I'd be glad to copy them and send them to you. It's recorded that Timothy McVeigh had written to his sister Jennifer and said he was actually secretly working for a special forces unit involved in illegal activity. In other words, a government unit involved in illegal activity. He told the same thing to Terry Nichols. You've never heard that. He told the same thing to a cellmate in the prison Tim McVeigh was supposedly executed. And there's a book written, I think it's called Secrets Worth Dying For, and the book is available on Amazon. If you want to get it, I can get to the exact title. And not a word of this in the controlled media, and you ask yourself, if this is really true, why did that happen? And of course then, was Timothy McVeigh really executed? I do not know, but I do know that I have somewhere, have a tape. It was actually recorded by of an interview of a woman, a reporter who was at the execution of Timothy McVeigh, and she was talking to the man who was interviewing her, and she was saying, well, I was there. Timothy McVeigh asked me to come to see him executed. I didn't know you continued breathing after you were dead. I didn't know you continued breathing after you were dead. And, of course, there was a gentleman who actually wrote a book called Behold a Pale Horse, and his name escapes me momentarily, and the name will probably come back very, very quickly. But he had a talk show, and we actually interviewed him on our programs in the past, and he played that recording with the reporter over and over again on his program. And a couple of weeks later, a SWAT team came out and killed him. Do these things happen in America? They certainly do. You can't let the American people think, well, let's go to Ken, who's calling us from all places, the Bronx. Hi, how are you doing, Ken?
Okay, Doc, good evening. One of the saving graces, I thought, with this past election was that maybe John McCain would be tired of the Senate. He's been drooling for the presidency ever since 2000, but unfortunately, I was wrong, and he just announced a few days ago that he's going to seek re-election in 2010 when his Senate term is up. So I emailed his Senate office about a week ago, and I was short email I just said, if there was an ounce of decency left in this man, he would do what Robert Dole did in 1996 when he, before the election, announced he would resign from the Senate and devote himself just to the presidency. So here it is, McCain, after he really embarrassed himself, he brought the party down, the second straight national election where the Republicans have been really beaten up badly. And he seems to have no remorse. He has, again, no shame over what's happened. Does it surprise you at all that he's already saying, oh, I'm running for re-election in 2010? And
not at all. I mean, John McCain is a man without integrity. And all you need to do is know what really happened when he was a prisoner of war over there. And if there are websites you can actually get where people who were prisoners of war with him tell about how he went over to the other side. He made propaganda films and propaganda broadcasts for the North Vietnamese while his fellow prisoners were being tortured. Why, John McCain lived very, very well. So, and you're never going to hear that in the controlled media, but fortunately it is available on the Internet. Actually, I have a picture in my files of John McCain actually after the war when the chief torturer was brought to the United States to testify before the Congress, the man who tortured so many of John McCain's prisoners, and there's John McCain hugging this man. I mean, that is unconscionable, but none of this was ever brought out in the campaign or the shabby way that John McCain treated his first wife, who was loyal to him while he was a prisoner of war. He's a man without integrity. It doesn't surprise me at all, but you were never going to hear this sort of thing. After all, if we didn't get John McCain, we were going to get that terrible Barack Obama, who was affiliated with the communist and has a long radical background. Nobody ever points out the fact that it was not the communists that got him elected. It was the people of great wealth who were backing Barack Obama. They were backing both candidates, but they gave more money to Obama than any candidate has ever had throughout the history of any of our elections.
Anything
else,
Ken? We had.
What's that?
What a choice we had, this presidential
election. Well, we did have an excellent choice, and that was Chuck Baldwin, and you never heard of him.
Well, again, you know, Doc, regardless, I mean, he's a decent man, and, you know, the Constitution Party, though, again, they're only on the ballot in 38 states, I think, and, you know, the third party's only got, I think, about 1% of the vote, and, you know, right now, unfortunately, it's going to take somebody or a group of people with a good deal of money, similar to what Ross Perot did in 92. Not that I'm saying I supported Perot or I didn't vote for him or anything like that, but we need something like that, I think, to get something really significant started.
We don't really need a great deal of money, because Ron Paul did not run with a great deal of money, but the people were willing to give him money. He raised, you know, $5 million on several specific days from people who agreed with him. Well, what we need is an alternative means of reaching people and getting the truth out. And we do need a man who's willing to become a point man. And Ron Paul's still there. He's still in Congress. If you read his speeches, they're precise and clear. And, of course, it's fascinating to see what he said about what's going on today. But I think Ron Paul is a potential leader. We need a couple of younger Ron Pauls. I just might mention, we just completed today a little pamphlet. It's about 50 pages long. It's five of my newsletters that deal with Ron Paul. I think they're excellent. And it's what Ron Paul really said. His words, not mine. A few places I comment on what he said, but he speaks so well and so clearly. I don't think we need a lot of money, Ken. We just need people like you and so many of our listeners out there.
Organization.
The organization, and we're going to be working on that, don't you worry.
Well, Ron Paul, I think, had a great opportunity, Doc, and I donate to his campaign. I would have worked for his campaign, and I think he had a real shot to launch a third party.
Well, he really wanted to stay in Congress because he knew that the country isn't ready for a third party. But, I mean, he actually won in Nevada, and they just simply rigged the caucus there. He got 25% of the Republican vote in Idaho. Not a word in that in the controlled media, or almost no word of it. Even in the liberal county where I am, you know, one of the most liberal counties in the entire country, Ron Paul got 8% of the Republican vote. And I think with more exposure, he could have gotten a lot more than that, the Republican primary. So don't despair. We've got a lot of things going our way.
All right. Have a good Thanksgiving.
Good night. And God bless. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let's go to Ray, who's calling here from Santa Cruz. Hi, Ray. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Getting ready for Thanksgiving and all that.
You're going to have your family.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com.
Out there, you have a question or comment? And incidentally, the man who actually had played that, who had written the book, Behold a Pale Horse, and who had actually had the tape recording of the reporter who kept talking about, you know, I didn't know you kept breathing after you've been executed. The reporter had actually gone to Timothy McVeigh's execution. The man who was killed by the SWAT team was named William Cooper, and he was a great patriot. But anyway, if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question, number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and go right ahead, Ray. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's all right. The Bible speaks of Mystery Babylon, the mother of abomination.
Right, mother harlots.
The harlot, yeah, the whore. Is that the same, one and the same thing as the, this group, this large, you know, web of occult groups? Is that the, does that embrace all of that? Is that what they're talking about in the Bible? I've often wondered what the great harlot is, really.
Well, I tell you what, there's a lot of,
There's a lot of symbolism.
There's a lot of, people have different views of the great harlot. And of course, there's some people who think that this is New York City and it's what's going on here. It's a manifestation of, you know, of the ancient mystery religions. There are other people, and I know you're Catholic, but some people say it's the Catholic Church. I don't believe that.
No.
Some people believe that it is really a rebuilt and reinstituted Babylon. In other words, that one day the ancient city of Babylon will be rebuilt and will become a major trading center, and I think that is totally foolish. But there are good people who have all different views, and that's a very, very controversial phrase in the Bible. My personal belief, and remember, I do not profess to be a Bible scholar at all.
Right.
But I really believe it's talking about America. I could be wrong.
I think so.
But it sort of relates this whole thing to the fact that Babylon is destroyed, the last Babylon, why the merchants of the world will weep, because this is the center of their trade. What is the center of the trade of the world today?
We are.
And so that's why some people think that Mystery Babylon could be New York or the east coast of this country. But I'll tell you the way the economy is going, Mark, we're not going to be the major source of trade much longer. We're going to some very, very serious economic contractions and travail.
Yeah.
Any other questions, Greg?
Well, that was a good answer. I puzzled over that for a long time. It's symbolic, but in a way, it's sort of, to me, it's the world system of things.
No, I think that I would really tend to agree with you.
The world system of things, and you know, Malachi Martin said that there are certain people that are actually, they're possessed, perfectly possessed, and they're under the control of the devil, and for some reason, some mysterious reason, it's not really so mysterious, but what's so mysterious to me is that these people have total control over our resources and our media and everything else. Isn't there anything that can counteract that? I mean, besides just, you know, electing, you can't elect the right people into Washington, D.C. if you don't, you know, because most of them are compromised, you know, before they even, you know, run for office. So, you know, it leads you to a very, you can become very cynical about it.
Yes, it really is very easy to get cynical and discouraged, but don't get discouraged, Ray.
Yeah.
Remember, we're not even required to win. We're just required to do our best, but it's a spiritual battle.
Yeah.
And in the final analysis, it's going to be determined by the Lord, not by these wicked people here.
Yeah.
Maybe the Lord's going to let things get a lot worse.
Well,
our job is to get the word out and to try to people, bring people into a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. That is our job. And if in the process of doing this we can educate them about what's going on, well, this is what I try to do. I will tell you, many people are not going to look for God because things are so good. Only when times are bad are they going to look for God, and that's why I'm just so glad we have a voice at this time in history, and why I hope we can continue it as long as we can.
Yeah.
But once the good people understand what this is about, they're going to have the courage to vote for the right sort of person. And that's what your job is. That's what my job is.
Okay. You've answered a few of my questions, and I'll still be thinking about that because, you know, that's...
Hold that thought for just a minute. Our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Give us a call. Go ahead, Ray.
I'll still be thinking about that, Mystery Babylon, and I'll be doing some research on that, and if I come up with anything interesting, I'll sure let you know.
All right, fine. Thanks very much.
I'll see you.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we've got Bob calling from Kansas. Hi, Bob. How are you doing?
Hi, pretty good.
How are you listening to us, shortwave or internet?
Shortwave. Yeah.
Good. Okay. Glad to have you with us.
Well, thank you. It's kind of not a real late question, but I always wondered, why did they want the powers that be, I guess, why did they want to get rid of Richard Nixon so badly as president?
Well, because they wanted to put in Nelson Rockefeller. The reason that they had to get rid of, first of all, you have to understand Nelson Rockefeller always wanted to be president. And, of course, he ran against Richard Nixon. Nobody wanted Nelson Rockefeller as president. So he lost the election, but he still wanted to get into the presidency. And so, basically, they did a lot of shenanigans to get rid of the vice president whose name was Spiro Agnew. And there's a wonderful book written by Spiro Agnew called Go Quietly or Else. Go Quietly or Else. You can probably get that on Amazon. And Chris Agnew in that book tells you how they set him up with all sorts of phony charges, threatened to send him and his wife to prison for the rest of their lives, you know, if he didn't go quietly.
Yeah.
And it was or else. So basically then at that point, why Richard Nixon was supposed to appoint Nelson Rockefeller to the vice presidency. Well, Richard Nixon understands the power structure. I mean, it's not just by coincidence that when Richard Nixon left California in 1962, when he failed at his bid to become the governor of the state of California, that Richard Nixon moved to New York City, and he got an apartment in a building, and you'd never guess who lived right above him in the building. Nelson Rockefeller. And then he went to work for a Rockefeller-controlled law firm, and he spent the next 6 years running for the presidency, getting paid large sums of money for work he never did. And so, when Richard Nixon became the president, and he was told he was supposed to appoint Nelson Rockefeller as vice president, Richard Nixon did not want to have an accident or be sent on a trip to Dallas or something like that. And so instead of appointing Nelson Rockefeller, why, he appointed Gerald Ford. And, of course, then, Gerald Ford immediately pardoned Nixon and became the president of the United States. And who do you think Gerald Ford appointed as his vice president? Nelson Rockefeller. That was all about. And so I hope that explains it to you, Bob.
It sure was a lot clearer. I could never understand
that's
the whole
thing. That was all about. And so they destroyed Nixon, and then they brought him back again. He was an evil and wicked little man.
That's amazing.
Hold that thought for just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Bob was just calling from Concordia, Kansas. He was asking about why, of course, they got rid of Richard Nixon. I just pointed out it was because they wanted to punish him for failing to appoint Nelson Rockefeller as his vice president, because he was supposed to do that. Instead, he appointed Ford. And then, of course, Ford became the president after Nixon was gone, and he, of course, appointed Nelson Rockefeller his vice president, and there was an unsuccessful attempt, two unsuccessful attempts on the life of Gerald Ford, and Nelson Rockefeller, poor guy, just never became president. In fact, he died at his mistress's home after some callous aesthetics as an elderly gentleman. Anything else you'd like to ask?
Well, it looks like they couldn't control Nixon as well as they'd like to, or something.
Well, I think he just didn't want to take a trip to Dallas. No, I think that he did most of the things they wanted. He got us and kept us in that Vietnam War. And, of course, I can never forgive him for abandoning, hundreds and hundreds, probably several thousand American troops over there. And he never had the courage to tell the American people the truth. That's, of course, where he's a despicable individual. But he had his strong ties into the dark side.
I see.
Okay, anything else?
Well, that's it. Thank you so much, Dr. Stan.
God bless, and please get those people back there in Kansas listening.
Okay.
Okay, let's go to Joan, who's calling from Coeur d'Alene. Hi, Joe. How are you doing, Joan?
Fine, thank you. I just wondered how, when you talked about Timothy McVeigh, I thought he was like a good American patriot. I don't know how he could allow any of his fellow countrymen to be blown up in that Oklahoma City building.
Because when you're in the military, you do what you're told to do. And of course, he was under the control of a CIA mind control agent named Jolly West. And it was Jolly West who was one of the chief CIA mind control people. He was down there visiting Timothy McVeigh there in the prison. And I think that they'd actually done some work on his mind and said they controlled him fairly well. It was Jolly West. You remember here back, you probably don't remember back in the early 1990s when there was a lot of talk about the people who had, you know, had been abused, satanically abused as children. And then they came up with an organization that called the False Memory Syndrome Organization, pointing out that all of these people just imagined that they'd been satanically abused. And who do you think was running that? It's Jolly West from the CIA. Because, of course, there's a strong tie between Satanism and, of course, the CIA and the occult.
Oh, I know that school that all of the people were falsely accused.
Right.
That was the man that was directing Jolly West?
Jolly West was the man who created the False Memory Syndrome Organization. He was one of the people that was funded by the CIA to try to convince people that there is no Satanism, there are no satanic covens. Mm-hmm. And certainly they have brought some false charges. There was one fellow up there, I believe, in Oregon who came under false charges. But a lot of the charges were real. There really are satanic organizations out here. There really are satanic covens. We've got a book on satanic crimes and a four-tape set.
Right.
We've got a book, pardon me, a four-tape set on Satanism, deliverance. We've got all sorts of material on Satanism. It's alive and well in America today.
Mm.
And one of the dominant and most powerful religions in our society.
Yeah.
In fact, Masonry with millions of members is based upon Luciferianism. But the average Mason doesn't know that.
No, they don't. Is this Jolly West still alive?
Jolly West, no. Jolly West died fairly, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, shortly after Timothy McVeigh was supposedly executed.
Yeah.
But it's the most amazing thing. Oh. Nobody knows where his grave is.
Uh-huh.
Nobody knows what happened to the body. I wonder what happened to it.
Well, I wondered why they executed him so quickly, because they don't usually execute people that quickly.
Well, as he told his cellmate, Timothy McVeigh says, "I've got to be executed if I ever want to get out of here."
Oh, my goodness.
That's, of course, what it was all about.
Oh, my goodness. And then, I forgot what I was going to say about... in the beginning of your program, you said about the... United States, Britain, and all the governments throughout the world fund these terrorist groups?
Oh, yeah, sure. This is standard. You want a controlled opposition. And so you create a false opposition, you control it, and then, of course, you can rally the people behind you. This is what happened here in the United States, of course, starting back in 1918, when communism was established in Russia. Mm. And it was funded by our Federal Reserve Board. It was funded by wealthy Americans. That's covered beautifully in a book called Wall Street. And the Bolshevik Revolution. And, of course, it's covered in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. And so you had to have the enemy. How would you get the American people to allow the government to increase its power over our lives and to tax us if we didn't have an enemy there? And we had to have the government protecting us from the wicked communists over there in Russia. And then, of course, we had to have a communist party here in the United States. Mm-hmm. And it was funded by the great tax-exempt foundations, in part for Rockefeller and Ford and Carnegie. Created the best enemy that money could buy, right? We got a great interview with Professor Sutton before he died called The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. It's available on DVD, and it's well worthwhile watching.
Well, I understand it better.
Okay.
So they've actually taken all these people and they've created them
to control us,
which is what the whole thing's
about. In fact, if you go and you read the things that came out just before Y2K, and the FBI was putting out information about these terrible organizations who are out here wanting to overthrow our government, never once mentioning the Islamic terrorist movements, they were watching, but they were talking about the Christian identity movement. And, of course, the Christian identity movement, the center in Oklahoma was something called Elohim City. And Timothy McVeigh had ties to that. And, of course, you go to the back room of Elohim City, you find out that the man who ran this Christian identity movement, which, of course, was named by the FBI as a terrorist organization, was a man named Reverend Millar, who worked for the FBI. He was an informant for the FBI.
Goodness.
And then there was a girl named Carol Howe there who'd infiltrated this group for the BATF. And, of course, they eventually indicted her under false charges so that she couldn't testify at Timothy McVeigh's trial and bring out the fact that the government knew all about the bombing ahead of time. And then there was another man named Springmeier. No, but that is not his exact name, but anyway, something like that. It was Andy Strassmeier. And he worked for another element of intelligence, and then there was a fellow named Dennis May, and I don't know whether he worked for intelligence or not. Some people thought he did. But so many of the people who were working there and training the people there in the use of automatic weapons and explosives were government agents.
So the CIA and all these agents.
These are probably, we know that part of it was FBI, part of it was BATF, part of it maybe have been NSA or one of the other intelligence agencies. We don't know. And the government's not going to tell us, but of course they funded the Aryan Brotherhood here in this country.
Oh, really?
And they were actually, of course, recruiting people into this militant, anti-Jewish, anti-Arab, pro-white organization. But this is what you do.
So they created all these.
They created this. They created many of the anti-communist and funded anti-communist organizations. And of course, they've infiltrated our Christian organizations. We're in real trouble. But we have right on our side. Everything they do is, of course, is subterfuge and dishonest. And, and so we have to stand up and just say the truth and rely upon
that.
The Lord for our protection.
And pray. And they created Y2K, too, then, propaganda?
Yep. Oh, no, I think there was really a problem there, but I think that they knew that it was going to be taken care of because industry spent literally billions of dollars to correct the defects.
Oh, I see.
But I'll tell you what, that Alan Greenspan used the threat of that to throw an extra $75 billion into the market, of course, which began to trigger off the run up in the stock market.
Oh, very interesting.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. You remember more names than I could ever remember.
Well, God's given me a gift.
Yes.
I can't remember anything when I'm not on the radio. But anyway, God bless you. Thanks very much, Joan.
Thank you. God bless you.
Bye bye. And let's go to our next caller. And his name is Mark, and he's from Florence, Oregon. And our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm doing fairly well, Dr. Stan. How are you doing tonight?
No complaints at all. I'm looking forward to having tomorrow off. We'll cancel all of our programs. They're all going to be rebroadcast. And you can listen, but there'll be older programs that they're going to play again. And
you're
I'm going to
have
put my feet up.
And
I'm going to have a quiet day with my son and my wife.
Excellent. That's just the way it should be with your closest family members on Thanksgiving.
Right.
Well, to understand, I had just a couple of guest suggestions, but I wanted to preface that with you were happened to be talking about Timothy McVeigh, and when he was interviewed, I think, in prison, after he'd already been taken to prison, waiting execution, he said that they being the military, had actually put a chip in his posterior.
Right.
So that he was actually chipped. Thus, we can assume control to some degree.
We don't know what that really meant, but he did say he had a chip in him, and he may very well have. I mean, I would be much more concerned if they had a chip in his mind, but we do know that Jolly West was down there visiting him, and I know this from at least three different sources. Having one of the people was a very close friend of McVeigh's who wrote to him almost on a daily basis, and I've forgotten who the other two sources were, but at least three sources confirmed that Jolly West, who's the chief psychiatrist for the CIA, was down visiting Timothy McVeigh. Now, why would he have been going down there? And Timothy McVeigh, at least according to this one gentleman who was his friend, said Timothy McVeigh didn't want to see Jolly West. But, of course, what could he do? He was in a federal penitentiary, and of course, Jolly West was coming from the Central Intelligence Agency to look after their man.
Yeah, Charlie West was one of two men that actually...
Jolly West.
Johnny West?
Jolly. J-O-L-L-Y.
Jolly.
Well, that's what they call him. I think
yes, I've heard that name once or twice in my life. There's a name like that.
Right.
But he's actually one of two men that were the actual designers of the mind control program that was passed from Project Paperclip. Essentially what Project Paperclip turned into personnel-wise was MJ-12 or Majestic 12.
Right.
So he was very high up there in the mind control arena and innovating and developing that so-called science. So I don't blame Timothy McVeigh for not wanting anything to do with that. But beyond that, Timothy McVeigh did not close his eyes when he was executed. He died with his eyes open, which is very unusual, if not unheard of, for lethal injection. And beyond that, there was at least one credible witness there that said that he was breathing as they rolled him out on the gurney. Supposedly he'd been declared dead, and there were at least several people there who could see his chest moving up and down. Very credible witnesses.
I didn't know you kept breathing after you were dead. Maybe I shouldn't say that, because the, when William Cooper played that tape, and I heard him, you know, somebody sent me a copy of it, and he played that tape of the woman saying that over and over again. I didn't know you kept breathing after you were dead. And a few weeks later, William Cooper was dead, killed by a SWAT team.
Yep, and that's they've got some things that are just very easily discoverable once the facts get out. They're such hard pieces of evidence that they really jump quick right on top of those things. They just nip those in the bud or before. They're absolutely. But beyond that, Dr. Stan, actually, there's a gentleman named Bill Schneblin. I was wondering if you'd heard of Bill Schneblin.
Oh, I know Bill. We've had him on many times in the
past. Okay.
I just haven't had him on recently, but he's
really?
I consider him a personal friend. We've met at meetings, and and of course, we've interviewed him a dozen times or more.
Well, I hope to catch a show when he's on. I have missed him so far, but
I haven't
I
had
try
him
to
on,
listen
I,
to every show.
I haven't had on in a couple of years. We do carry his DVD. I think it's a two DVDs inside the Illuminati, a sequence of the Illuminati. We actually carry some of Bill's material.
Yeah. Well, that's why I had him in mind, because I think we're getting to a time which is really, really calls for the full exposure of the, as you've really stressed on, and the truth that you relate to people through the years, I've noticed, I understand, you really stress the spiritual aspect as controlling our physical world, that they're actually two-dimensional energy, so to speak, that manifest within their human minions on the Luciferian level, which actually cause all of our problems in the world.
Amen to that. In fact, as I remember, William Schneblin is actually interviewed in one of Chris Pinto's DVDs, and I can't remember whether it was The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning or his DVD, Riddles in Stone, but I know that he is part of one of those two DVDs.
Yeah.
And he does a good job. He's very believable.
Well, he's lived it. He's actually been within the Illuminati at the highest, some of the higher levels, so he really knows. Beyond him, I'd already recommended this gentleman to you. You may have tried to get in contact with him or not, but I just wanted to remind you, in case you hadn't, that R.A. Coombs, C-O-O-M-B-E-S, who wrote America, Babylon the Great.
I've heard the book, but I don't believe I've interviewed him.
Yes. Well, he does take apart on a scriptural level basically what you had mentioned a little early in the program this evening, and that is that you believe that America is actually what's being mentioned predominantly when Babylon is mentioned in Revelations.
Right. Well, we can certainly give it some consideration. I'll tell you what, if you could get his telephone number for me and email it to me, why, we'd love to.
I don't have a computer, and I can certainly give your producer his name and the name of the book.
All right.
And I might not have gotten that exactly right when I was speaking with you just a moment ago, but I have the book right here at hand.
All right, fine. I'll go put you on hold, and you talk
right,
to our producer.
Stan?
Okay, hang on there.
Let's appreciate
see.
It.
Let's be actually, I'll ask Mike if he could pick up on line three and get the name of the title of the book, and let's go to, I believe this is Paul calling from Oklahoma. Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
Very good. I was just listening to the show. And I was hearing about the Christian, you were talking about the Christian identity.
Right.
And the FBI. I lived, this would be, I don't know, in the early 90s at Aryan Nations. And I knew the people up there, and the pastor there, Richard Butler, he told me point blank that there were about one out of maybe every five people there was an FBI informant. And if you see Aryan Nations, like today, you go and look at the pictures, and you saw the sign out front, that sign was bought by Rico Valentino, who was an FBI agent. He was paid there, I don't know, about $250,000 over a few years, and he bought the sign.
Well, in fact,
the sign that everybody saw for
I'll never forget when they interviewed some fellow who was running the militia movement in three states, and it turned out he was an FBI informant, and his excuse was, well, I couldn't have afforded to support the militia movement without the money I was getting from the FBI. And, yeah. Of course, you have to understand, they create all of these organizations. That's why you have to be careful who you...
Well, I lived up there. There was a woman who was just packing up, and this is what they had done. Like I said, this guy that had bought the sign, what he finally did was, they keep trying to get you to do something, telling you you should do this or that. And they went out to the woods, and they let off a bomb. They didn't know that they were being recorded. And then when they went into the city over the weekend, the FBI said that they had taken some bombs and put them in some homosexual bars and stuff. And they used the footage from them being out in the woods and, you know, the affiliation with the church and everything, you know, to kind of prove their case. It's like they keep pushing someone into...
Oh, no, hold that thought for just a moment. All right, Paul, go right ahead. And certainly I agree with you that this is a standard operating procedure. This is what they did with Randy Weaver to try to get him to be an informant. And when he wouldn't, they killed his son. And
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt, that nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us.
Shared this info with Greg Reed, the guy that was on a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, in fact, we just talked to him this morning about it.
Good, because I've been trying to expose this cult, Jesus People USA, and they, in the early 90s, they did a report on what Greg talked about last week, Mike Warnke, Lawrence Stafford, another ex-occultist, and they were vicious. They basically told some of these people that, you know, if you don't cooperate with us, we're going to destroy you, basically.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, and the thing is, this cult has been able to dodge bullet after bullet after bullet, and one of their main spokesmen is the vice president of a group called Evangelical Ministries to New Religions, which is an umbrella group for a lot of counter-cult ministries.
Well, I really don't know anything at all about that, but I appreciate your bringing it up, and I will be having Gregory Reed back again on our weekend and our evening program sometime real soon.
Good.
And I appreciate your input on that.
Okay.
Hey, thanks very much.
God bless.
That was, and you too. That was Mark from Ohio, and I guess this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is listener-supported. And it depend upon the people out there across America who are in a position to help, pitching in. And we are on over 60 outlets of one sort or another, satellite or internet or shortwave or radio, over 60 outlets every single week. And we're trying to grow as we can. We have to have the funds to do it. We have to rely upon you if you believe in what we're doing. And so you can certainly contact us, join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, or subscribe to our newsletter, or, of course, if you'd like a free catalog or our newsletter, give us a call of 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. We suggest you read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and understand that there are all sorts of secret and covert organizations out there, but they all tie together into what I refer to as the Brotherhood of Darkness, and they're all dedicated to the same goal, a one-world government, a one-world religion, a one-world leader. And when you understand that, so much of what goes on makes sense today, because so much of it just, you look at it logically, and it isn't logical, and when it isn't logical, there has to be another explanation. And that explanation is there are people out there who have a different view of the world because they worship a different God. And when you understand that, when you understand the roots of Masonry and Rosicrucianism and Theosophy and the Knights Templar and the ancient mystery religions is in Gnosticism and the Kabbalah, why at that point it all begins to make sense. And the Kabbalah was simply the codification of the ancient mystery religions. There is a force out there you can tap into. Rhonda Burns writes about it in her little book that called The Secret, featured on Oprah Winfrey not once but twice. Her DVD sold, between the DVD and the book, probably 10 million copies. And, of course, she tells you what we're telling you, except that, of course, she's encouraging people to get involved, and we're warning you not to. That's why it's our talk on The Forbidden Secret is so important, The Forbidden Secret. And then, of course, we hope that you'll want to get the syllabus that goes with that and our talk on the planned police state and the syllabus that goes with that. And we mentioned earlier the DVDs, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, and Riddles in Stone, two in a series put out by our good friend Chris Pinto. We recommend that. The DVD, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. 10-hour version, yes. It's a wonderful, wonderful story, very well and very professionally done. And then, of course, if you haven't yet laid in your supply of emergency food for long-term storage, and I don't think the way things are going, they're going to need it for too long. Why, of course, we'd be glad to send you the information on the long-term storage food, on how to get a Berkey water filter, on the health products that you ought to have, the vitamin D and alibiotic and the other things that'll help keep your immunity up if we have problems as far as getting good food is concerned. And then we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend, Lindsay Williams. And we're going to be talking about, of course, what we've talked about before, and that is the price of oil. And of course, back, I guess it was in July of this year when Lindsay, of course, had contacted me and told me that he'd had a call from somebody very high within the power structure who had told him he must discontinue talking about certain things, and he had agreed to do that, but the man had told him what was going to happen later this year, and one of the things was the price of oil was going to fall to $50 a barrel. Well, of course, when Lindsay told me that, we were dealing with oil. It was about $140 a barrel and rising every day. And I think both Lindsay and I both thought it was going to go to $200 a barrel because, of course, there are people who really want to get us out of our cars. And the thought that oil might very well begin to fall and fall to $50 a barrel seemed to be so foreign, so absolute opposite of what both Lindsay and I were thinking. And we had a good conversation. I asked Lindsay if he could go public with what information he had, and I suggested he call this gentleman, who he had known many years ago, and ask him if he could tell the public what was going to happen. Well, Lindsay did, and eventually he came forward, appeared on our programs a number of times, and other programs across America, saying the price of oil is going to fall to $50 a barrel. And what do you know? This week it went below $50 a barrel. Lindsay Williams, good to have you with us.
Dr. Stan, thank you so very much for allowing me the privilege of being on your program tonight. Thursday of this past week, $48.78 on close, folks. Enjoy that trip to grandmother's house on Thanksgiving.
I'm glad, because, actually, of course, we got gasoline here for almost a little over $2 a gallon, which is just amazing, because I can remember paying $4.40, almost $4.50 a gallon. And so basically, so many of the things that you talked about, Lindsay, about the fact that Dubai and the Arab countries were going to be in real trouble, and now as we read in the Wall Street Journal, we find out that over in Dubai, they've got these most magnificent buildings. They are building the tallest building in the world. But they're not going to be able to finish it because they can't get the money, because the whole financial system of the Arab world and the rest of the world is just contracting. But all of this was things that Lindsay told me about in July of this year. You pick up the story, Lindsay.
Well, Dr. Stan, it was an amazing story. In fact, I'm still sitting here stunned. Back in July when I called you and you allowed me to be on your show, it was $147 a barrel for oil. And I must admit, whenever I said it was going to $50 a barrel, based on what had been told me by a person who knows everything that goes on behind closed doors with the elite, I must admit I was a little dubious myself at what I was saying, but they have never been wrong in 35 years that I've been telling it, so I figured they'd be right there, and sure enough. Well, anyway, for the listeners, let me briefly tell you how it happened. Many years ago, I had executive status with the 9 major oil companies that built the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline. As a result, I came to know some of the elite of the world. And it is nice to know one or more of these people. But I've also known for the past 35 years that if I ever said something, those people did not want said. Because remember, I lived with them for 3 years' time. Literally. Now, Dr. Stan has verified this with some people whom I've given the name of. And they said, yes, Lindsay Williams was there. Yes, he did live in executive dorms at Arco Base at Prudhoe Bay. Yes.
Hold that thought, Lindsay. We'll be back in just a moment. Lindsay, go right ahead with the story.
So, as a result, about the middle of June of this year, I had a phone call from a gentleman that I have not seen for probably 25 years. I knew who he was. I knew he was at the very top. And he was angry. And he said, "Chaplain, you've gone too far. You've said too much. You can't say this and this and this anymore." And he said, "If you do, we're going to do this, this, and this, and this." And what he said was not very pleasant for my family and for me. So I agreed with him immediately, but that's really not the important thing, because we could come to agreement fairly easy. I just pull my website, shut down the sale of my Energy Non-Crisis DVD, and had to make a new one with things that they didn't want on it anymore. But the important part is what happened after that. I decided I'd be friendly with the gentleman, and I said, "How has your family been? What about your children? Where have you been living since I saw you 25 years ago?" And he, over the next 45 minutes, which I related on Dr. Stan's program back in July, he told me everything that the elite planned to do on the face of the earth for the next year to a year and a half, and the first item was crude oil is going to $50 a barrel. Now, Dr. Stan, I had a talk show host the other day. I won't name him on the show, but he said to me, he said, "Lindsay, when you came on my show back in August, and you said that," he said, "I'm going to have to admit to you, after we got off the show, I laughed at you." He said there was no possible way that crude oil was going to go from $147 a barrel to $50 a barrel. But he said, "You were right." I said, "No, I wasn't right." I said, "I'm just an ordinary human being just like you, or I put on my breeches just like you do every morning." I said, "The people who told me this, who planned it, are the ones that are right." Now, folks, for the past 35 years, since I wrote my book, The Energy Non-Crisis, all I have done for 35 years is voice what the elite of the world have told me, because by the providence of God, I had the privilege of living with them for 3 years, and because of it, I still know some of them today. So don't give me credit for any of this. And what I'm going to relate on Dr. Stan's program tonight, and I am so glad you gave me the privilege of being with you tonight, Dr. Stan, because if, now since the price of crude oil has gone from $147 a barrel exactly like they said it was going to $50 a barrel exactly like they said it was going to do, that means everything else that this man told me is also going to happen exactly as they have it planned. They have an agenda. This is not a conspiracy. This is an agenda, and everybody
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Lindsay was simply saying that the people who run the world, at least the people who run the oil companies, and very close to the people who run the world and part and parcel of it, they have an agenda. And some people say, "Well, you think it's a conspiracy," and Lindsay says it's not a conspiracy, it's an agenda. And they're carrying out that agenda. So pick the story up there, Lindsay.
Well, Dr. Stan, I know you have told your people, you have taught your radio audience so well. You have done a masterful job through your newsletter of saying this so many times, but let me punctuate it again just in case you might not have caught some of what Dr. Stan has said. There positively is a group of people on the face of the earth who control the world. Now, folks, please believe that. I lived with them for 3 years. I know they exist. It is not the figment of someone's imagination. It is a real group of people who control the world. They tell the president what to do. They dictate to Congress what bills to pass. They tell the Arabs what they're going to give them for a barrel of oil on any given day. OPEC, Saudi Arabia, Dubai, all of the Arab world, they have tried every way possible to get the price of crude oil back up again, and they cannot do it. Now, here's my first prediction. I said that tonight I'm going to tell you everything else that they have in store for you. And I mean that, because I feel such an urgency since the first thing that I said on Dr. Stan's program, as they told me, not that it was something I said, because I couldn't have predicted something like that. Dr. Stan knows I had been on his program a few weeks prior to that, and I said it was going to $200 a barrel. Well, I had to change my mind and change what I was saying, because they said 50. $6 a barrel. Now, here's my first prediction. Now, note this carefully. Put it down. Put it on your calendar somewhere. And a month or two from now, look back on it and tell me whether I'm right or not. And I'll, you know, I may have the privilege of being back on Dr. Stan's program again then. And if I do, you can say, well, you're right or wrong. Here it is. It is going to stay at $50 a barrel. It is not going back up significantly anytime soon. Now, it may vacillate a little bit above, a little bit below. It is going to stay at $50 a barrel. I was on talking with someone the other day, and they said, no. He said, Captain Williams, it's going to go right back up there again in a very short period of time. In fact, I was talking with someone from Nigeria the other day, and they said the same thing. They said, we don't have a thing to worry about. We'll be back up there to $150 a barrel before long. I said, no, you won't. I said, don't you count on it. You had better not plan your budget according to that. You better plan according to $50 a barrel. Now, my first prediction is, based on what this gentleman told me the middle of June, it is going to stay at $50 a barrel. Second prediction, you are going to be paying $1.50 a gallon at the gas pump. In California, because of certain requirements by the state for the additives of the gasoline, you may be paying a little bit more. Back on the East Coast of America right now, they are paying $1.50 a gallon. Take that trip to grandmother's house, that long trip you want to take at Christmas time. Enjoy it. Oh, my goodness, take advantage of this $1.50 a gallon oil for gasoline, for everything you're worth. Enjoy it. Have a good time with it. People are sitting out there shouting hallelujah and saying, praise the Lord, we're so glad we've got gasoline down so we can afford to drive again. Enjoy it, because within 6, maybe 9, maximum 12 months is my next prediction, you won't have the money to be able to pay for even $1.50 a gallon gasoline. Now, Dr. Stan, that's where we really get down to some nitty-gritty in predictions based on what this gentleman told me. And the only reason I'm willing to stick my neck out tonight and say this is because since his first prediction came true, $147 a barrel, down to $50 a barrel, since the first prediction came true, I'm willing to stick my neck out and say to you, I believe that his other predictions are going to come true too. And this being the case, we want to consider, as far as you'll allow me to go tonight, Dr. Stan, as to what every American can expect in the next 12 months.
Well, I think it's really so interesting. One of the things Mr. X, we'll call him Mr. X, told you was that there was going to be this terrible financial collapse. Well, of course, we've always felt something was going to happen. But, I mean, this really just started. People have to remember that this, although the symptoms were there, it really didn't really start to fall apart until September. And then, of course, it's been just cascading down now, and getting worse and worse and worse. And it's not simply a financial contraction in the United States. It's a worldwide contraction. I mean, the shipping has fallen over 90, somewhere between 90 and 95%, the cost of shipping. And there are all sorts of freighters out there sitting empty because there's nothing to bring back and forth between China and the United States. Many of our, of course, are retailers here don't have the money to go out and buy the goods from China. They don't want to send money over to China because they send the money to China, they might not get the goods. In the past, they had to send over a letter from a bank that guaranteed that they would, when the goods were shipped and received here, then, of course, the bank would guarantee the Chinese manufacturer the money. But the trouble is that the Chinese don't trust the banks here in the United States now. And so the banks aren't going to send the money until the goods are there. The Chinese are not going to send the goods until they have either payment or a letter. And even if they have a letter, they're not going to honor it. So basically in China today, 100,000, well, they say it right now, 67,000 factories have closed. But by the end of the year, they anticipate 100,000 factories closing, and all these people, all these Chinese, I mean, millions of Chinese being thrown out of work. We've got 10 million people out of unemployed in the United States today. Imagine what it must be like over there in China, where they have a population four times what we have. And believe me, it's a lot worse over in China than it is here. So these are all things that were anticipated. What was it exactly that Mr. X told you about what was going to happen to the economy?
The ramifications of $50 a barrel oil are going to be catastrophic and devastating to the dollar. He made the statement to me. He said, Lindsay, Chaplain Williams, he called me. He said, America will see a financial collapse that will be so great that it will take years to come out of it. Now, here's how they're going to do it. Now, they have it all planned. Every bit of this has already been mapped out. They have known months and months ago, and in some cases years ago, what they were going to do. Now, here's what happens. Let's take every oil-producing country in the world. The standard currency of the world is crude oil, not the dollar, not the yen, or the pound, or the ruble. It's the crude oil. Watch the price of crude oil, and you'll know what else is going to take place everywhere. Now, take crude oil to $50 a barrel. All the oil-producing countries of the world, likewise, their budgets are cut by one-third. I'm sorry, cut by two-thirds. You've only got one-third left. Let's just take, for instance, Saudi Arabia, a country that everyone recognizes very rapidly. And I want to read you today what is happening in Saudi Arabia. You can go and find this for yourself. It's on the Dow Jones Newswires. You don't get much more prestigious than that. On the Dow Jones Newswires, quote, Saudi Arabia, 90% of whose exports stem from oil, has sought to maintain the price of oil at $80 per barrel. They said the kingdom has been obligated for more than $400 billion in defense, energy, security, and infrastructure projects. When the price of crude oil goes below $80 per barrel, I'm going to put the rest of it in my own words rather than reading it, it's going to bankrupt Saudi Arabia. Now, when Saudi Arabia, Dubai, all of the other oil-producing countries in the world, when their profits are cut by two-thirds, what happens? All right, here we go. America right now has a $12 trillion-plus national debt. Somebody must pay the interest on that debt. How is that interest paid? An interest is paid by countries using the dollar as the standard currency of the world, or should we say the reserve currency of the world. That means that Saudi Arabia, whom I've just given you the example of, in the past, when they had $147, $150 a barrel oil, they would take some of the money that they get from us buying oil from them, they would turn around and buy treasury notes. Oh, they're the safest on the face of the earth. After all, the treasury of the United States of America is always going to be solvent, isn't it? Well, is it? Well, they would buy treasury notes because they thought they were safe. They would buy Federal Reserve issues of notes and so on. And that paid the interest on the national debt of $9 trillion of the United States of America. Now, when Saudi Arabia's income every month is cut by two-thirds and they only had $50 a barrel and they must have $80 per barrel and even to meet ends on their infrastructure and defense and energy and security projects, $80 a barrel is what it takes to do that. And when they only have $50 a barrel, what are they going to do? They're going to start cashing in their rainy day funds, better known as their reserve currency. And what's the reserve currency? The American dollar. Oh, what are they going to have to do with it? They're going to scuttle it. Get rid of it as fast as they can. Cash it in. Do everything they can. They're going to cash in Federal Reserve issues. They're going to cash in treasury notes. They're cashing in, throwing the dollar every way possible, getting rid of it every way they can. Why? Just to maintain their own economy. What does that do to the American dollar when the dollar flooded the world? There's so many dollars out there, people don't want them anymore. And America's in the trouble it's in. Saudi Arabia's in trouble, can't meet their budgets. Financial collapse in Saudi Arabia. Dubai, world-class city, already has closed down two of their big skyscrapers. I was on the phone today, Dr. Stan. Oh, my goodness, what a story. In fact, just a few hours ago, I was on the phone to someone in Hawaii, and they said the two tall skyscrapers that are about halfway built in Hawaii as of this year on Honolulu Beach closed down.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Lindsay Williams. Well, Lindsay, you were saying that the skyscraper, construction has been closed out.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Not buying the interest on our national debt anymore, and the dollar floods the world because people don't want it. Basically, in a nutshell, the same thing will happen to America that happened in Iceland. We're bailing out our banks and our lending institutions and our insurance companies like wild today and keeping them afloat artificially. But when it finally happens, I'm going to read you right now what happened in Iceland. The 300,000 inhabitants of Reykjavik, Iceland, are stunned at how fast their standard of living has dropped. Now, this was only 3 months ago. Here it is. Overnight, people lost their savings. Prices are soaring. Once clouded restaurants are almost empty. Banks are rationing foreign currency. Companies are finding it difficult to do business abroad. Inflation is at 16% and rising. People have stopped traveling overseas. The local currency, the corona, was 65 to $1 a year ago. It is now 130 per one U.S. dollar. Companies are slashing salaries, reducing workers' hours, and in some instances, embarking on mass layoffs. Now, I didn't say that. This is actually exactly what's happening in Iceland 3 months after the country had a bankruptcy. Now, people say, what we're going to see happen in America? Let me read the statement again that this man said to me, the middle of June, he said, Chaplain Williams, America will see a financial collapse that will be so great that it will take years to come out of it.
I think it's very interesting that just this last week, right, there were massive episodes of civil unrest in Iceland. People were burning down government buildings and attacking government buildings. People desperate. They've lost their savings. They've lost their jobs. Things seem to be hopeless. Prices are rising, and certainly many of the store shelves are empty because, of course, the people who actually have the shops there can't buy things. They don't have any foreign money. Other countries won't lend them anything, loan them. They don't want the corona because the value of the corona has fallen so dramatically. And there's tremendous civil unrest in Iceland just this last week. Could that sort of thing happen in America? I don't really think it can happen. I think it's planned to happen. That is why, of course, they brought the brigade home from Iraq, from the battle-hardened troops, and began teaching them how to deal with the civilians here in the United States. It's a total violation of the Posse Comitatus Act. And even though Congress has reinstated the Posse Comitatus Act, George Bush attached a signing statement saying he would not abide by it. In other words, he wants to be able to use American troops against American citizens. I wonder if when, of course, Barack Obama became president, he will negate that executive order and that signing statement. Go right ahead, Lindsay.
1929 was when the stock market crashed. It was 1932 to 1933 before there were soup lines on the streets of New York City. There's a grace period there. Now, folks, I beg of you to hear Dr. Stan. Don't miss the thing he says every day. In order to keep up with what's happening, you must hear every 24 hours what's taking place. Now, 1929, 1933, grace period of 3 to 4 years, I believe that we have already entered into that grace period in the United States of America, and I'm going to read you why I think it's so. You notice that I'm trying to document everything I said tonight, and here it is. The stores in the United States of America, before they can close stores, must first consult the Security Exchange Commission. Listen to some of the stores and what they have told the Securities and Exchange Commission that they're going to do between October of 2008 and January the 1st of 2009. Circuit City is closing stores all over America. Ann Taylor said we're going to close 117 stores nationwide. Eddie Bauer is closing 27 stores. The Cash will close all stores. Talbot's closing down all stores. J. Jill closing down all stores. Gap closed. Gap! The latest clothing store, shutting down 85 stores. The Foot Locker is closing 140 stores. Wick's Furniture closing down everything. Levitt's closing down all remaining stores. Bombay closing down all remaining stores. Zales is closing 82 stores and 105 after January. I could go on. There are two pages of this, of stores, and what they told the Security Exchange Commission that their intentions are between now and 2009, folks, prepare. I beg of you, sit down with your family, discuss what lifestyle you are going to be willing to live in light of what you're going to see as a result of the financial condition.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Lindsay Williams. Lindsay, go right ahead.
Now, folks, I don't want to frighten you tonight. Please, I beg of you. I still feel so privileged to be on Dr. Stan's show just to be able to relate to you that since the first statement of this man took place exactly like he said it would be, that the other things are going to happen accordingly. Now, you can spare yourself a lot of problems by being willing to believe what you hear Dr. Stan say day after day, and the things that you're hearing me relate tonight, which is not what Lindsay Williams says, because for 35 years since I wrote my book, Energy Non-Crisis, I have never voiced an opinion personally. I have only voiced what I heard the elite tell me, and in turn, I was willing to say it around the country. And as a result, Dr. Stan, I don't know why people are doing it, because I'm not a prophet, but people are saying, Lindsay Williams, you're a prophet. And I'm saying, no, I'm not. The only thing I've done for the past 35 years is merely voice what I heard the elite say, and every single time, without exception, they have been right, with exception of one time. This man did say to me the middle of June, Chaplain Williams, if we have our way, John McCain is going to be the next president of the United States of America. Well, they are not God, even though they think they are. And believe me, when I lived with them, you would think that they think they're God. They don't always get their way, but they came pretty close. But that was one time that they didn't quite make it. Now, they've already made it to $50 a barrel. We already are seeing a major financial problem in the United States of America. America positively will see a financial collapse that will be so great that it will take years to come out of it. I think a perfect example of it is what happened. It was north of Denver on a large farm that is there. You go on the Internet, you'll find this. This literally happened. You can find the names of the people. And Mr. Miller is the owner of that farm north of Denver. He decided this year, since many people in Denver were having some problems, he heard that once they had picked the sweet potatoes and the carrots and the leeks and the other items on the farm, he decided he would announce that the farm was open for anyone that wanted to come out and pick what was left in the fields because it was getting close to winter time. The farm couple got a huge surprise when they opened their farms to everyone who wanted to pick free vegetables left over after the harvest, and 40,000 people showed up. They were lined up for miles to pick what was left in the fields. They've never had this happen before.
Hold that thought, Lindsay. We'll be right back here. And this is Dr. Stan. Lindsay was just talking about that farm north of Colorado, where, of course, a large farm that lots of vegetables planted there. And, of course, they offered to let people come and pick the remaining food. They'd done their harvest. There's still food there laying in the fields. And whether it would be all the various things that they'd actually produced. And they, you know, the ordinary, and they've done this in the past, they'd have 3,000 or 4,000 people. 40,000 people showed up when they announced that they were going to open the farm, and they just had to cancel it. I mean, what do you do with 40,000 people wandering around in your farm trying desperate for food? And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to see hunger in America. I'm firmly convinced this is going to happen. I do not believe any of this is happening accidentally. I believe it was all planned this way. I think it's been planned this way for a long period of time. Before we go on, Lindsay, we've got Tony calling from Aptos. I'm going to ask Tony to be hanging on patiently because we haven't opened up the lines yet, but maybe later on we can get to him if he hangs on. I would just simply ask Lindsay to get your website out and let people know how they can get your material if they'd like to.
Well, Dr. Stan, we were forced to close down our website. The gentleman who called me the middle of June, this was one of his requests. He said, you must close down that website. He's saying, you're saying too much, too many people are going there. And also had to change around my DVD, Energy Non-Crisis. But you remember that you suggested to me one day, you said, Lindsay, why don't you call back this gentleman? You have his phone number, don't you? I said, yes. Why don't you call him back and ask him if what you can say about what he has told you? And I did. I called him one Saturday morning, and I said, can I say $50 a barrel? What's going to happen? He said, yes. After all, what difference does it make? It's going to happen anyway. So I produce a DVD. It's 1 hour long. It's entitled The Next 12 Months. Everything this man told me. Then I decided I had not told it all. So I went back and produced a CD, which you can listen to in your CD player, in your automobile, or in your house. It's likewise 1 hour long. And I tell other things. I give the background of how they're doing this. How this man told me that it was going to be brought about. What's he going to do with the airlines? What about the housing industry in America and the banks in this country? How are they going to own the majority of banks, the majority of real estate, the majority of the small businesses in America before it's over with? How will they totally control all of these in a socialistic system? And I gave the background to every bit of this in my CD, DVD, and my new 2008 Energy Non-Crisis DVD entitled The Next 12 Months. I beg of you, for the sake of the dinner table in your house, I ask you, hear what this man said. Please call. It's the toll-free number. The number is 800-321-2900. Now, I know Thanksgiving is coming right up, so you may have to call on Friday, even though there may be operators tonight. I'm not quite sure. But the number again is 800-321-2900. Let me give you, as a gift, a copy of my book, To Seduce a Nation. 260-something pages, beautiful full-color cover, what has happened to America, what our founding fathers had to say. I'll give it to you as a gift whenever you get my DVDs and my CD entitled The Next 12 Months. 800-321-2900 for the sake of your dinner table, Dr. Stan.
All right, fine. And so let's go to Tony's waiting patiently on the line, one of our regular callers from Aptos. And of course, hi, Tony. How are you doing? Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I do. Explain to me, I know that this run-up from $80 to $140 has been in the last 12 to 18 months, but explain to me how the sheiks had been able to support and survive on $40 to $50 a barrel before this took place and fly in their jets and all that kind of stuff. How is it now that it's fallen back to $50 a barrel that they still can't survive on that?
Now, in this article in the Dow Jones Newswires, they listed the following things. They said they must have $80 a barrel in order to maintain their Defense Department. They didn't have this back when it was $32, $35 a barrel, $40 a barrel years ago. Energy, they didn't have the giveaway program, socialistic system, to the extent they do today. Security, infrastructure projects, Dubai didn't even exist back then in building their new world-class five-star city like it's never been built on the face of the earth. All of these things, they have based their new economy on $150 a barrel. Now, when I asked this gentleman the middle of June, when he called me, I said, what is this going to do to the Arab world? He gave me about a 15-minute lecture, which I wouldn't dare take the time to do now. But he put it this way. He said, Chaplain, you don't understand the mentality of the Arab. He said, I lived over there for many years. He developed all of the oil fields in Dubai, for instance, for a certain company. And he said, I lived there for years. And he went on to explain to me, he said, these people spend everything they get the moment they get it. And then they have built this new culture based on $150 a barrel. Now, when it comes down below $80 a barrel to $50 a barrel, they are scared. They don't know what they're going to do.
Lindsay, would that create massive inflation for us when the dollar collapses? Oil will not stay at $8 a barrel at that point.
Well, oil's going to stay. This was one of the things that I did ask the man about. I said, what's going to happen to the price of oil? He indicated that they were going to keep it at $50 or below per barrel for an extended period of time in order to totally destroy the Arab world. Now, this was so startling for me to hear him say that the Arab world is going to be completely destroyed financially. And I thought, how in the world can this possibly happen? A person who is in the brokerage business in New York called in on a show the other day, and he said, no, Chaplain, he said, this cannot happen. He said, the Arabs are too rich. This can't possibly happen to them. Well, it has already happened. I don't care what anybody says. What this man told me is already happening according to this article from the Dow Jones Newswires. So what's basically going to happen? You're right. They'll keep it at $50 a barrel for an extended period of time, but because of the collapse of the dollar, we will probably see hyperinflation.
And I think right now, of course, Tony, what they're doing is they're massive. I mean, they've put out, within the last few months, over $7.5 trillion, that's T, terrible, terrifying, Tom, trillion dollars, and they've given it to countries all throughout the world. $7.5 trillion. We've got the article here on the front pages of the Mercury News, just came out on the 26th of November, and of course, it's verified by the Federal Reserve. So all of this money we're just throwing out there, and besides that, we've already, you know, we're the largest debtor nation in the world. There's nothing behind our currency. It's a fiat currency. And one of the days we're going to hyperinflation. They're going to try to thread the needle between trying to recapitalize the world and getting hyperinflation, and they think they're smart enough to do that, and they're not. And of course, when hyperinflation comes, you destroy the value of the currency, and you impoverish the people. And that's exactly what I think that they've always intended. If you read Alan Greenspan's book, The Age of Turbulence, he will tell you that there is no better way to destroy a nation than, of course, to debauch its currency, and not one person in a million will know what's happening. Well, of course, hopefully, to talk radio, we hope that there are going to be millions of people to understand what's happening and going to hold the people who created this problem responsible. And I think some of them should very well be behind bars for what they've done.
One more question. Yeah, one more question, and then I'll listen to you off the air. Where would you recommend, if someone has dollars right now invested in a retirement plan or an investment plan, where would you suggest they go with that money right now before the collapse? Where would you recommend they put it?
What would you say to him, Lindsay? Well, do you have any thoughts?
Thank you. I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay.
Thank you so much, caller. You are a very well-informed person, I can tell. You know, I have thought this through. Some of you out there in the listening audience, you don't know my age. I'm 72 years of age.
Oh, you're just a young fella.
Yeah, I'm just a young fella, Dr. Sam. I got a 15-year-old son, and I tell people oftentimes, I can't even start thinking about getting old until I get to be 120, so I got a long ways to go yet. And I feel like I'm 40 or 52, as you can probably tell. But I have had to think this thing through also, because I've been making preparations for years for 70 years of age. And did a pretty good job, thank the Lord, give him all the praise and glory for providing for it. But I've had to think this through. Where would a person possibly put their funds today if they wanted to do something? You can't put it in real estate. Real estate values are still going down. You can't put it in the stock market. Stock market's in horrible shape. The banks, how do you trust them? You know, Dr. Sand, I'm going to have to admit, I have a very difficult time even answering that question as to where a person could put any funds right now that would still be stable.
Well, I think that there are three rules that you have to follow at this time. The first one would be to diversify your funds. The second would be to diversify your funds. And the third would be to diversify your funds. You should be in gold. You should be in silver. You should be at gold and silver stocks. If you have enough money, you could get some of it out of the country. You want to have your funds spread out just as wide as far as you can. You should certainly have emergency long-term food supplies on hand. You ought to have a water filter system of some sort. We suggest the Berkey, but maybe we're a little prejudiced about that. You ought to lay in a supply of the various health products that you need to keep your health up if we're not able to get good food. You need to have friends around, because I think we probably live in a fairly good area here in the Monterey Bay area. I'm hoping that there will not be civil unrest here. But you want to have a support group of people who think like you do, who can support one another and help one another. We're in for some very difficult times. A lot of people want to go off and hide in the hills. Well, that's sort of a tough way to live. But just try to imagine what you would do. Are you sure you'd be able to have water where you are? Do you have a well, or would you want to put in a well? Make all of the preparations and then just hope, of course, that some of your funds survive. Because I think an awful lot of people are going to lose most of what they have. That's why you want to diversify. Diversify, diversify. Because if you put all of your eggs in one basket, why, I can guarantee you that somebody may come along and step on that basket. So don't lose everything you've worked so hard for. And, Lindsay, do you have something else you'd like to say, or should we go to questions?
Because I have been a minister of the gospel for 50 years, pastored a church for 12 years, I was a missionary for 12 years, folks, let me beg of you, set your spiritual house in order. Do that the very first thing.
I think that is probably the first and most important of the three things. Certainly you need to be in good terms with the Lord.
Yes, make sure of your standing. Read God's Word. Be sure your house is on the solid rock and not on sinking sand. And this way, a house on solid rock will stand. So make sure you have a good spiritual foundation and that you've settled everything so that when you have to cross that river, you're ready to meet the Maker on the other side.
And I think you're absolutely right. And, of course, the only thing that will get any of us through this is the Lord. I mean, you make every preparation you want to, and then, of course, they can all fail. But, in fact, we have some interviews with people who survived the Holocaust, and it was their Christian faith that got them through the prison camps and the loss of their families. And certainly, we do have a four-tape set on the Holocaust, interviews with people who lived through that, and in most instances it was their Christian faith that caused them to survive. So the point is well taken. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Lindsay, what time is it there where you are?
It's 10:46 here.
10:46, you're an hour, of course, later than we are. Would you be available on Friday at 4 o'clock for a program?
I would be on a program with you any day, Dr.
All right, fine. Well, I'll call you, and we'll line up the number that you have to call, but we'd love to have you on Friday on a different network. I think your message is so important, and hopefully people will listen to what you have to say. In fact, my last newsletter actually covered your story, the Lindsay Williams story, part 3 of The Oil Deception, which is so important for people to put things into perspective and understand the background of what we've been told about oil. So much of it is just not true. But we've got all the statistics, all the figures there to put a lie to so much of what's going on. Let's go to Herman, who's calling us here. And, of course, Herman ordinarily would be with us as the producer this evening, but Herman had a root canal. How are you doing, Herman?
I'm doing better. Thank you.
I'm so glad you are, and thank you so much for letting us know what happened. And do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes. First of all, I appreciate so much that Lindsay, that you come on the air and basically put your life on the line to bring these messages to the people here. But I'd like to ask, you know, on Sundays I flip through the dial of the various religious services that are on the air. You know, Americans Television Church and some of the others, and I don't see, it doesn't seem like anyone is really addressing the crisis that we are going into as a nation. So when you mention people should get right with the Lord, you know, we may have listeners that haven't darkened the door of a church for a long time. What is your suggestion? I mean, do you think people can just pick up a Bible and start praying and God will help them? Or just give us some tips.
Well, the Word of God always has the answer. And I would suggest that you start in the book of John in the New Testament. Also, because of the very question you just asked, which I knew one of the first things people were going to want to do in a time of desperate crisis, in a time of difficult times, I knew that one of the first things they were going to want was answers from God's Word. So in one of my DVDs, the one entitled The Next 12 Months, I took the last section of the DVD and gave all the background scriptures that I felt people would need in a time of perilous times in which it appears that we're coming to. So you'll find all of that on my DVD entitled The Next 12 Months.
Okay, anything else, Herman?
Well, let me just ask this question. Germany, before World War II, was considered one of the most civilized nations. They had a strong history of being a Christian nation, and yet it seems as though they descended into chaos, and the churches really didn't help very much. Do you see something like that? Do you think something like that could happen here in America?
Yes. Here's why. Back in the 60s, I was a pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Hollywood, Florida. Prior to that time, there was never such a thing as a 501c3 organization status in which you were totally obligated to the federal government. In fact, when I first organized my church back in those days and finally wound up a church of about 400 people, there was no such thing as church registration. We just merely went out, rented a hall, started a church, and it went on. Then they came in with a 501c3 organization status and said, if you'll accept this, then we'll let you get all these tax deductions and your people can get them. And then they started putting on stipulation after stipulation. And I told all my pastor friends, I said, don't accept it. Turn it down. You don't want it. It's going to bind your church. Now, a pastor is not allowed to get up there and say anything political.
And that's
they
one reason
are
we're
so bound.
That's one reason we're in so much trouble today, Herman. Hey, thanks so much for calling.
Thank
God
you.
Bless, and I hope you get feeling better.
Okay, thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Like the message, Eugene Peterson's work, which is used, of course, as a basis for Rick Warren's a purpose-driven church, which is one of the most dominant forces in our nation today. And I think we're in real trouble within the church. Hey, we're out of time. Mark, thanks so much for calling. And Chris Lindsay, I want to thank you. And I'll call you tomorrow sometime. We'll just make arrangements for that Friday program. God bless you. Thanks so much for being with us and for being a good friend.
Dr. Stan and everybody, have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Take that trip to Grandma's house while gas is cheap. Thank you, Dr. Stan, for letting me be with you tonight.
Good night. God bless. All right, fine. That was Lindsay Williams. Hope you enjoyed him. And, of course, this is the time I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. As you know, we do 5 hours of talk radio a day. We have almost 60 outlets every week, and believe me, it's an expensive proposition to do what we do. But I do this without compensation because Well, I really believe I've been called to do it. My wife stands beside me, as does our son, and we're sort of a family operation with a couple of people who do come in here and help us on a regular basis. And we do have an outreach, and hopefully we're reaching people with a message that we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And we talk about finance, we talk about what they're doing with health, and they really are poisoning our people as far as health issues. Certainly the financial situation, people are interested in that, and they should be, but in the final analysis, it is a spiritual battle. So certainly let me suggest, if you'd like to get one of our catalogs, join the Radio Liberty family, subscribe to our newsletter, or give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to, you know, what to get somebody who has everything, you might want to get them a Sanjin shortwave radio so that you'd be able to reach us if they get us off the radio. And, of course, hopefully we'll be able to stay on shortwave. Or then, of course, we hope many of you have made your arrangements to lay in long-term storage food. If you'd like more information on that, we work with Ready Reserve Foods, and they do dehydrated, long-term storage, nitrogen-packed food that'll last up to 15 years. If you'd like more information, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Certainly, if you'd like to see some fascinating sermons with a lot of video clips and background on that, why, of course, we carry the countdown, final countdown by Pastor Billy Crone. We enjoy him very much, and we're going to be carrying many of his sermons here. They're available for you. Barbara and I watch them every evening after we finish our stint here on the radio. That's the final countdown by Billy Crone. And then, of course, we have the CDs of the recent conference there on October 26th. And you can get them separately, Dr. Blaylock's talk, talk by Pat Wood, by Johanna Michelson, by Michael Shaw and myself. You can get them all together in a packet of reduced cost, and they came out very well. We're pleased with them. And that's the CDs. Down the line, we hope we'll get the DVDs, but the gentleman who's making them for us had the first one almost done, and a gremlin got in there and crashed his computer, and he lost everything, and he's had to start from scratch. So these things do happen, and we never know whether it's a spiritual attack or maybe it's just the computer. We'll never actually know, but these things happen so often, and the closer you get to the devil's heartbeat, why, the more opposition you will find. And then, of course, you really need to get our book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and or the CD, pardon me, the DVD that goes with that. You need, of course, to get our talk on the forbidden secret, because there is a secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years. You need to get the DVDs, the secret mystery of America's beginning, and the second of the series, Riddles in Stone. We recommend, of course, the Da Vinci Con by Dr. Good Friend Pastor Joe Schimmel, and his DVD, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. And then we actually have a new little pamphlet. It's called The Oil Deception, based upon my talks on oil. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
There are many people asking questions. There are many people asking why. There are many people paying attention. There are many now who see the veil lie.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Wherever you're situated on this great, big, beautiful blue globe, floating through the void of God's creation, it is Wednesday.
It is the 26th of November, 2008, and yes, it's happening, folks. Just like a pebble in the lake, the ripple spreads out, and as it does, more people are upset. Their calm water all of a sudden starts to bob up and down, and they move around because they're being shaken. And when that happens, some